come to the place, to the one who raised from the dead. Oh, come and see the risen King.
Hello, this is Misty Reese, and I would like to welcome you this day as I share with you the things of the kingdom of God. It is my hope that in sharing, you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing, you find life through the name of Jesus. Hello, this is Misty Reese, coming to you with Water of Life Church in Plano, Texas, and I would like to welcome you back once again. You know, each week I declare unto you the gospel. So, what is that gospel? It is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. And when we look above in those previous scriptures, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to stand in it, we are to keep it in memory, and we are saved by it when we do that, when we keep it in memory. Colossians, we are also instructed to not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. We are not to look at anything else but the gospel, to keep our hope in it. Well, when we look in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, what else does that tell us about the gospel? It tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto our salvation when we believe. When we believe and we trust in that gospel, it is the power of God that will bring us salvation every day in our lives. Well, I would like to share with you today some examples of the gospel, how it has ministered to me when I would trust in the gospel, how it has brought salvation to me. And I want to get started in Genesis. And I would ask you a question as we get started. Have you ever looked at yourself and there were things you didn't like on the outside, or there were things you didn't like on the inside? Well, that was me. There was a time when I didn't like anything on the outside. There were things I just wondered, well, why was I like this? Why did you make me like this? And that only went along to the things on the inside. But there was a day when I finally believed, but it all started with me believing the gospel. So let's look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You know, I've said this before, there is a difference between acknowledging something and believing something. Now, when I was a small kid or a teenager, if you would have asked me, well, Misty, who made you? I could have told you God. That would have been my answer. But I acknowledged that. Now, did I believe it? No. I didn't believe it because if I believed it, there would have been things that I wouldn't have let affect me the way they affected me. There would have been things I would have done differently. You know, when I was a kid growing up, my dad is 6'4", and he had all the features of what a 6'4 man would look like. And my mom was about 5'1", and I took after her. But my feet took after my dad. So I was very kind of scrawny, long-legged, with big feet. And I used to hate that feature about myself. My dad had hazel eyes, and I had brown eyes. And so that was a feature that I didn't like about myself either. I wanted to have green eyes like my dad, and I could have lived without the feet. Well, you know, so I tried to alter those things. I sometimes would try to squeeze my foot into a smaller shoe because I thought it would look better. That was really a miserable place to be because you're always caring about what someone might think because of the things you weren't happy with on the outside. And that was me. I always would look at other people and like some of those features. And then here I would see, well, I can't fit into that little bitty shoe. Well, my eyes don't look like that because I have the brown eyes. Now, those are petty little things. But you know, if I really believe that scripture, what it said, that so God created man in his own image, if I really believed that, why would I have been complaining about what I looked like? Why would I have been complaining? Because when I was complaining or unhappy, what was I saying about what God had made? Let's look in Luke chapter 11, verse 39. And the Lord said unto him, and this is Jesus talking, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter? But your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. You fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? You know, I could have looked a certain way, or I could have done all these things to change the outside of what I looked like. But you know what was still within me? The ravening and the wickedness. There were things within me that it didn't matter what I did to the outside. The gospel, still, I didn't know. And the gospel was the only thing that mattered that needed to change the inside. You know, I can remember growing up sometimes seeing people that on the outside looked a certain way. And once I got to know them, they were some of the ugliest people because their heart would come out and you could see really what was on the inside. You know, that's all that God cares about, is that the inside gets cleaned up. And you know, one day the Lord began to minister to me that I was the way I was because that's what he made. And that greatly ministered to me that I started looking at it that way, and I quit caring about, or quit, I should say, I quit wanting to be anything different. I wanted to be what I looked like. If this is what the Lord made, I wanted to be what I looked like. And you know what? Those things that used to bother me didn't bother me anymore because this is what the Lord made, and I was happy with it. And you know, but then there came a day when the inside started being dealt with. And there were things that I didn't like about the inside. There were things that I thought, why am I like this? Why do I do this? There were things that I didn't like about myself on the inside, but it was all I remembered. When I was considering today about what I was sharing, the Lord reminded me of some scriptures, and one of those was in John chapter 9. And so if you would like to turn there and read this with me. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Do you see that? He was blind from his birth. He was made that way to start out. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Look at verse 8. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he, and others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thy eyes opened? The man could see. He was born that way, and now he could see. Verse 11, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to thy pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed, and I received sight. There are things that are just in us, like this man, that they were in us, and we are going to be delivered of them. They're in our hearts, and we have to be delivered. And look what Jesus said to this man, that the works of God should be made manifest to him. You know, those things that I said I saw in my heart that I didn't like, that there was no way I could fix. I didn't know how to fix. And I shared with you last time about how that was why I excused myself, thinking that, well, this Jesus just must not be for me, because I saw those things in my heart that I didn't like and I didn't know how to fix. Well, you know what? That Jesus was for me, because as we just saw there, that man Jesus was the only way that I was going to get that inside cleaned up. And that man Jesus is what began ministering to me about loving myself the way I was, that this is what God made, and not being unhappy with it. You know, there was a time, and it was maybe a couple years ago, like I said, this was kind of, I wouldn't say a small thing, but this was something I could say that I did. But I always kind of had this tendency to put myself down. That if I didn't catch on to something, like maybe someone else did, or if I didn't see something right away that maybe someone else just got a hold of, I tended to put myself down. I tended to think that I was dumb, and sometimes I would say those things. Well, you know, I put up a post the other day about my kids that I taught, and about what do you believe? What do you choose to believe? Well, I at times had believed that maybe I wasn't as smart as what someone else was. Maybe I was just slower because I didn't get this or that. A couple years ago, maybe I was doing something and out of my mouth, I said something. I don't know what I said, but I called myself something. I may have said, oh, you're so stupid. Something to that effect. But I know I had put myself down and I called myself something. And immediately the Lord ministered to me. Why do you put down what I made? And that was precious to me, because it got my attention, and I think I responded, I don't know, Lord, I don't know. And that began ministering to me, that I determined that day, you know what? I won't put down what the Lord made. I said I had a hold of, the Lord made this brown hair, the Lord made these brown eyes, the Lord made these feet, and the Lord made these hands, and I had a hold of that. But those things on the inside, and that's just one example, I hadn't got a hold of yet until that day when the Lord was ministering to me. Why do you put down what I made? Because when I put down myself, who was I putting down? The Lord. Because the Lord made me. And anything I didn't like about myself, you know how it was going to come? You know how it was going to be fixed, like that blind man? By believing on Jesus. By believing the gospel. You know, I thought we were going to go somewhere else, but I'm actually going to go to a different place first. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You know, when you receive the Lord Jesus, and I shared about that on my last video and my last audio about receiving the Lord Jesus. When you receive the Lord Jesus and he comes to dwell and live in your heart. Verse 17 says, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Your spirit becomes joined to the Lord, and you are one spirit, and he lives within you. Look at verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are bought with a price. Ultimately, we are all going to have to be brought back to God. We are ultimately going to have to all confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and come back to the Father in heaven. That we were bought with a price. Our life is not our own. And that's some things when I was sharing with you that the Lord began to minister to me, that I'm what he made. And he created those things in me that are for his pleasure, those things that are going to be to those things that need to be cast out and delivered or set free from, and he's going to get the glory for it. That's why we're not going to be able to change it, because you know what our job is to do? Our job is to call on the name of Jesus, to receive Jesus, and to believe that gospel. You know, there's an old saying, the ball's in your court. Well, the ball was in my court, and the ball's in your court. We have a job, and that job is to believe the gospel. There's things in your heart you don't like. or there's things on the outside that you don't like, well, believe the gospel and let him minister to you that he is the one that created you, that he is the one that made you. And if there is something that you don't like, well, the gospel is believing it is the only way that you are going to be set free from it. That's the only way it's going to come out of your heart. Let's look at Joel real quick. Joel 2, verse 25. I remember when I first heard this for the first time, I about fell over because I thought, what? Verse 25, and I will restore to you the years. And this is God speaking. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. He says he's going to restore that which he sent among us. Well, when that man in John was blind, well, that could have been one of the cankerworms, the caterpillars. And you know what? He came out that way at birth. And look what happened. He was restored. He was made to see. And how was he made to see? He said, this man, Jesus, this is what he told me to do. And he went and did it. And he was able to see. You know, Jesus gives us instructions. Jesus tells us we are to preach the gospel. Jesus knew and told us that we are to believe the gospel because he paid the price. What price did he pay? You can go ahead and turn with me to Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah really quickly. But Jesus paid the price. I remember one time when we were driving down the road, I was considering, we may have been talking, but I was considering some things. And the Lord began to minister to me that he had paid a price for me, that my life didn't belong to Misty, that my life belonged to him. He had paid a price for me. And the Lord began to minister to me something very simple that I understood. He began to show me that when you go into a store and you buy something, when you buy a precious jewel that you think is precious. And you know, I don't know if this was around this time, but I had at some point received a ring from my grandmother. And he began to minister to me, when you go and you receive buy a precious jewel, who does it belong to? And I was kind of having this conversation with the Lord, and I said, me. And he says, well, when you let someone see it, is it theirs? Does someone get to take that from you and do what they want to do? No, it's mine. And the Lord began to show me, that's what you are to me. You belong to me, that I paid the price for you. And nobody, and not even you, Misty, get to go and do what you want to do with that thing that I paid a price for. And that greatly ministered to me because I got it. Because I could look at that clear example of what the Lord was showing me. The price he paid for us. I want to look at Isaiah 52, verse 14. As many were astonied at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. This is Jesus. This is the price he paid, not with money, but with his own life. The price he paid. You know, we were created the way we were created. We were made the way we were made so that we could believe the gospel, so that we could have the inside of this cup cleaned up by believing the gospel, so that who gets the glory? God. Who gets the glory? The Lord Jesus, when we believe on him, because we can give him thanks, and we can also give thanks to the Father in heaven. What price did he pay? He paid it with his life. So he shall sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which he had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus paid that price with his life for us. We don't belong to ourselves. And we don't get to complain about ourselves. Because you know what? We didn't make ourselves. And we were bought with a price. Our life is not our own. Ultimately, we are coming back to the Father. Ultimately, you are going to have to believe the gospel and confess the Lord Jesus, that he is the Christ, confessing him Lord. Ultimately, that is what will happen. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He paid a price for you, and he paid a price for me. And we belong to him. No matter how much we fight it, no matter how much we kick, we belong to the Lord Jesus. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus, a man, paid a price for us. He paid with his life. He didn't pay with money. He gave up his life so that we could live our lives unto him. That is the price he paid for us, wanting us to believe the gospel, wanting us to believe what this word of God says. It says, and with his stripes, we are healed. You know, I said at the beginning that gospel brings salvation. Right here is the gospel. And it brings salvation when we believe. You know, I said something the other day. God did not send his son for nothing. It was for us to believe. And you know, when we just acknowledge and say, oh, Jesus, he died for my sins. Yeah, He was raised again, but we don't see it working. You know, that's just acknowledging it. If we believe it, it has to work. Romans said, it is the power of God unto our salvation. It is the power of God to what we need. It has to work. If it's not working, then we're doing what 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 15. We've believed in vain. If it is not working, we have believed in vain. And I'll tell you, every day I am on my case that you better be believing. You better be believing that gospel. Look at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. I was one that went astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I don't care if you've went astray and you've gone out and done your own thing. Jesus still paid a price for you. Jesus is still waiting on you to call on him so that he can come dwell and live in your heart, so that he can give you those things by you believing the gospel, so that he can set you free of those things that you don't like, or set you free of those things in your heart that you just keep doing, that you don't know how to quit doing, that you know are not right, or that you know keep you from doing other things because you know something is not right. He is waiting on you to believe him, to call on his name, to receive him. He says, although we've all gone and done this, he still has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It still doesn't change that Jesus paid a price for you. I would like to close there for right now, and I would like to share at least one song with you this time. And this is by Paul Peters. He is a young man that I also work with here at the ministry. And this song is called Jesus Paid It All. And I will be back to close.
I hear the Savior say, strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. white as snow. Complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
The gospel, to call on the name of Jesus. That is the only hope we have, to believe the gospel. Do not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Until next time, God bless you. Thank you for joining me today. I would love to hear from you. You may email me at MistyReese@wateroflife.com. That's MistyReese, wateroflife@gmail.com. Or you may write to me at Misty Reese, care of Water of Life Church, P.O. Box 861327, Plano, Texas, 75086.